Good morning.
Good morning.
This has been an awfully confusing and confused area for many people. How about doing what the doctors want you to do in putting all of the data that you are looking at right now in the public domain so that independent experts can assess it?
All the data we are looking at will be in the public domain when we publish our guidance.
Right, it's not now, though, is it? I mean, there's a lot of data that comes from this Oxford Cholesterol Treatment Trial collaboration, which is not available to others to look at.
Oh, and some of it's not available to us. All the evidence we have available will be put in the public domain. But as is often the case with commercially sponsored trials, not all the evidence is always known to be available.
Sorry, some of the evidence on the use of statins that has come from trials is not even available to you?
That is correct. And that applies to a wide range of commercially funded trials. No organisation is working harder than NICE to have full disclosure of the content of all the evidence from
trials. How can you
trials.
Possibly come to a credible judgment in this final guidance that you're going to issue within the next month on whether statins should be prescribed more widely when even you don't have access to all the scientific information that's out there?
Okay, let's not make too much of this. The Oxford trialists do have access to information which they have not been able to make available to us because they don't own it.
But the drugs companies own it, right?
Yes, but they have assured us that there is nothing in the information they have not disclosed to us which would change our recommendation. So we're pretty confident that the evidence we have on side effects, and this is just about side effects, is reliable enough to enable us to make strong recommendations.
So have they said to you, for example, on the subject of side effects, have they indicated to you that there is a 48% increase in the risk of diabetes if you are prescribed statins?
Yes, so there is a small increase in the risk of diabetes in well people who take statins. And we have taken that into full account in developing our guidance.
It's smaller than 48%, which is what the signatories to this letter are saying.
48% of what? It's 48% increase of a tiny proportion of people who develop diabetes when they're taking statins.
The reason I'm pointing out that particular risk is because some people say that the side effects are minor, but clearly diabetes is not a minor condition,
no,
is
indeed.
It? I mean, there's significant evidence of the cost to our country as a result of more people getting it.
Yes, we've put all of this information into the models that we've built around this guidance, and it's quite clear that the benefits of statins in reducing the risk of heart disease and stroke are greater than the risk caused by a small increase in the number of people who develop diabetes. But all of this has been taken into account.
Right. How can you be so sure of the position you're taking when you have not had access to all the evidence?
We are pretty confident, based on the results of four large randomised controlled trials which compared statins with placebo, that the incidence of side effects and their severity is roughly the same. You heard Claire Gerada talk about a number of the side effects, including muscle pains. Muscle pains are very common in the population, particularly the elderly population, who are almost exclusively covered by this extension to guidance.
It's not the only side effect that has been mentioned. What about your own panel? There are concerns also that there are 12 people on the panel that's making the decision on the guidelines. 8 of them have links to the drugs industry. Does that make it a credible panel?
Yeah, this accusation is completely unjustified. All members of our panels are appointed after an open advertisement and in competition, and they are all interviewed. That all applicants have to declare any interest they may have, and they are not allowed to receive income from pharmaceutical industry or other conflicting interest for the year before the start of the guideline or at any time during the development of the guideline.
But afterwards they can go on
of course,
to have
but
payment.
In practice, the majority of people who sit on our guideline groups actually lose money as a result of volunteering to take part in the development of our guidance. None of them gain from the content of our guidance.
Professor Mark Baker, thank you.